Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Makes me think that, and I don't know if this is good or bad or indifferent, but it makes me think that the book on the Niners is quickly going to become, if you want something to get done, go ahead and say something publicly.
I tend to be very wary about these because Kittle's denial was pretty quick and pretty forthright. You know? And when a player reaches out for that, if they're close, the agent's usually going to say, you know, don't bother with this. We're closing a deal. I don't know that they are that close yet. And I don't know that this means that they're not going to get a deal done. I think they probably will. But just the way this broke today just feels funny to me. Like they really are not that much closer than they were a day ago. And if the numbers that, if the numbers that were reported are close to accurate, Kittle needlessly gave them a deal that, frankly, he deserved a lot better from than
the numbers
than that.
Feel.
Because I don't think the deal is very good for him.
The numbers did look incredibly team friendly across the board, with an average putting him at 15.8 or whatever it was, 6-year contract. But again, it's been refuted by the man himself. So, you know, consider sources. That's an important thing, I think, as you go about getting and gathering your sports information. All the major players, I'll just say this, and this isn't a slam on anyone who broke a story today or who hasn't broken a story in my now 15th year covering the 49ers. I mean, I'm going into football season number 15, basically covering this team. And I can't think of a single story that was broken by a single local beat writer about this team ever. The 49ers, when they had their leaks, it all got to Schefter first. When they plugged their leaks, it still gets all to Schefter first. There is a relationship between that national reporter and this franchise, which has survived good and bad times. And look, there's really good people who cover this team. I like Matt Maiocco, Cam Inman, Matt Barrows. You know, you don't see a lot of news come locally, and that's just the way it is. It's like the NFL has a deal that it goes nationwide before it goes local, which I think is kind of a lousy thing to do to the beat writers that are there every day. I mean, you know, throw a guy a bone every now and then, but look, as we said yesterday, here's the contract that you officially don't even need to worry about. Of course the 49ers are going to get it done. What's the walkaway number? I doubt they're even going to explore that. Don't worry about it. It's the best tight end in football with the best offensive coordinator in football who wants to get his quarterback more targets to have a better passing game. Of course George Kittle's coming back. We'll see what the numbers work out. It's, you know, ooh, they're getting closer. They're not as close as you think. It's August 12th. Everyone calm down.
I would say one thing, though. Typically, Schefter and the other guys who are wired nationally on the NFL get it not from the teams but from agents. Teams will call them to go, what have you heard? Because they want to know what the agents are telling people. So I don't think that Kyle Shanahan even goes that route, because they don't have to announce anything at any point until they're ready to put out a release. In fact,
I think
they would prefer it.
I think this is an agent another guy. Thing. Another guy who used to just call people directly is what I heard.
Well, that's a whole different thing, and there's a reason why he's not back in the league. So, no, I think Shanahan keeps it buttoned up across the board, but I think agents talk. And if it's not Kittle's agent doing the talking, it's somebody else's agent saying, this is what I heard on the Kittle thing. I think that's how those guys operate in every sport. Woj, Shams, Bob McKenzie, who just sort of semi-retired in hockey. Name the sport. That's how they get the stuff. Because teams don't have any advantage in telling anybody anything.
By the way, are we in a fifth overtime anywhere that we need to know about right now, Ray? Will you monitor any and all NHL five overtime games for us, and we'll go breaking into that news as soon as we get it?
Well, so far we've only had a two overtime game. So
bums.
But if it goes in, yeah. No. That was today's. This was the game today that got postponed from yesterday.
Yeah.
Because yesterday's game was too long.
Two overtimes. I mean, punch a clock. Go to work, why don't you? Jeez. I need at least five overtimes. Soft
game
goal.
Game 6 and 7 are going to look like crap because guys are going to be skating on their faces.
Totally. Soft goal. Games like that always end with a soft goal.
And there's no score.
This is the real reason they had to postpone it, is because these dudes don't deserve to play on the same night as a five overtime game.
It really is. It's like, clear the table. No one can top this. Forget it. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Yeah.
Probably
and I like
the right idea.
Yeah, and I especially like the fact that Carolina and Boston have to come back tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, yeah. They're going back-to-back after going two overtimes, after staying in an arena long for a game they never played.
I tell you, I got all excited about hockey, and then I watched the Blackhawks just lay down a flop against the clearly better Las Vegas Golden Knights. That feels like it could be El Sweepo. Yeah.
Well,
wasn't good.
Chicago's a 12 seed. Vegas is a 1 seed.
Yeah. There you go.
One team's got a bunch of old guys who are slowing down. The other team has a bunch of young guys who skate very fast.
Hey, a 12 comes up and bites a 4 every... Oh, no, excuse me. That's the NCAA tournament. I'm getting my seedings wrong.
Twelve bites 5.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
Never
sorry.
Bite at, but after that, they never bite unless they get a 13.
Correct. God, I missed the tournament this year. Look, baseball. What if someone was in a coma and just woke up this year and you said, hey, tonight the Giants and Houston Astros are wrapping up a rubber series? They'd be like, okay, yeah, that sounds kind of normal. That happens. Who's pitching? It's Trevor Cahill versus Zach Greinke. Like, what? Trevor Cahill's making his Giants debut tonight. I will forgive anyone who, you know, might have had other things to worry about in the last year or so, to where you forgot that last season Zach Greinke actually got traded to the Houston Astros after all that time in Arizona, yep. After all that time in Los Angeles, after all that time in Kansas City. Zach Greinke is a Houston Astro, and this is kind of an interesting pitching matchup tonight. We'll see if the Giants can actually, you know, come back from this, what was looking to set up to be a terrible road trip. If they can salvage it a little bit, if they could win tonight, the Giants will be just 2 games under 500 in their first 20 games of the year, which feels like, I mean, parade worthy is a bit much, but it's better than I expected, that's for sure. And if you will join me in saying the almost mandatory description, they're scrappy, fellas. The Giants are scrappy. There they are. I don't know how much seriously we can take them, but they're scrappy. Hunter Pence, Oppo Boppo, look out, everybody.
Yeah, this from the guy who wanted to put a bullet in his head and leave him in the woods a day ago.
Look, yeah. I hope he didn't buy himself like another 50 at-bats right there. But big swing
last
night.
Four for his last 11.
Heating up. Look, it couldn't get much worse. Eventually, you got to do something out there. So, you know, and look, here's the thing. He's not helping the team. He's not part of the present nor the future, really. But a good moment for him last night. Nobody dislikes Hunter Pence. He's a guy that just makes it tough to root for him sometimes. Brandon Crawford, game-winning RBI last night. Darren Ruff, he sent the things to extras to begin with that RBI single. And all of this happens in Houston as the A's are basically laying an egg last night. Man, they got pitched pretty darn hard last night. Who was that again? It was Dylan Bundy. Just was fantastic last night. So
Oriole.
Yeah. Well, he looked a little bit like the ace that they hoped he might be last night. A really interesting performance out of him, and a quiet night for A's bats. It's been a quiet season for A's bats, yet they lead the American League in wins. So here we go. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We will ask what if a little bit later on, and we are just underway. You're invited to be a part of it. Herm Edwards joins us in about 15 minutes talking about the major decision the Pac-12 made just yesterday, along with the Big Ten, to wave the white flag on the year. When it comes to looking at your business, looking out for your business, Bay Alarm brings the best, like networked video surveillance systems that lets you view your security cameras from anywhere. Because if your security's not the best, you're not secure. Now more than ever, Bay Alarm, Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. Really good to have you here. A What If Wednesday. We'll have a little fun with the guys back in the studio a little bit later on. We're going to have some fun talking college football, or the season that won't be, at least for Arizona State, the rest of the Pac-12, the rest of the Big Ten, unless something radical changes. Both of those major conferences are saying that they're not playing this year. And Herm Edwards, who's just a wonderful interview, is going to be joining us coming up at 2:30 today. So we're looking forward to saying hello to Herm. It's been a few weeks. We just randomly talked to him 1 week for kind of no reason at all, other than we know he's a good interview. And then Brandon Ayuk gets drafted, and now this. So he is always nice enough to join us. We're really looking forward to talking to him in about 10 minutes. Until then, Ray, Matt, baseball last night. Again, the Giants can end this crucial 20-game opening stretch of games, two games under 500, which, you know, considering how bad that they have looked at times during these opening 20 games, as poor as the pitching has been, as lame as some of the spots in the lineup have produced, as sloppy as the play has been in the field, you know, what do they got now? 21 errors in 27 innings of baseball.
No, 21 errors in 18 games. It's not
21 errors in 18 games. Excuse me.
In
thank you very much.
27 innings, then you've got a significant problem.
Well, 27 innings. I think the Cardinals have played about that. I was looking at the standings today. Do you realize the Cardinals have played five games?
Yes, they played five more games than the St. Louis Browns, who left town in 1953.
And they are off all weekend for sure. And who knows how much longer. I mean, it's insane. But to get back to what you were originally talking about, this Giants team, I think the easiest way to put it, has won more games than it has any right to based on what it's looked like.
Totally. I mean, it really, and look at what they did last night. I mean, it wasn't pretty. And boy, the Houston Astros left at least 2-3 runs out there. It felt like just making their own mistakes on the base paths. They're making outs at third base that you just don't make the first or third out at third base. That is a rule that they broke twice last night.
It's Little League stuff.
It really is. The Giants worked 12 hits, 5 walks, 7 runs in a, brace yourself, error-free baseball game. They played an error-free baseball game last night with Hunter Pence and Brandon Crawford, of course, playing starring roles in the rally. I mean, everything that you hadn't really seen was seen last night, and they pick up a win. I'll tell you also key to the win after the start was not glorious. Peralta, Anderson, Gott, and then Tyler Rogers coming in to strike out 2 of 3 and pick up his first career save. Okay, you know, it looked that was good baseball last night. At moments, put a full 9 innings together, put a full week together. I dare you.
You're high. You're just high. The only thing you could say with any certitude about the Giants is, whatever you saw, give it 24 hours, because the one thing about their record is, they haven't had a long stretch of success or a long stretch of failure. They slip in a win here and there to keep you sort of thinking about biting on the hook. But it's still not a hook with any kind of a worm on it. But they'll just sit there and just tempt you and mock you. Go on. Be a fan of us. We dare you. Ooh, now we're going to lose 9-3 and we're going to kick the ball around all day. They'll break your heart, even though you know they're going to break your heart.
These are good times. Yes. Like, I need some baseball back.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we have to, as you like to say, Ray, we can't take this out of the timeline or out of context, right? We know there's nothing here, really. We know most of the guys on this team won't be here the next time it goes to the playoffs, all right? That's pretty much a fact. But if that's the fact that you're dealing with, wouldn't we rather have it be a mildly surprising and occasionally, mildly entertaining and occasionally surprising version of it, as opposed to a total dead fish? And I think, you know, that's what we have here. We get a team that has enough bizarre pieces that can have success on any given night that it can entertain you. And that's better than nothing.
Well, baseball is better than nothing, you know, COVID concerns to the side for a moment. But this is still a team that wins 2 out of every 5 games. I mean, that's who they are.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue to be that. So what's really, you know, if you want them to win, they will keep you paying attention. If you're a realist, you'll know that every positive is a false one. I mean, it's playing out essentially the way it should. You know, they are not very good, but occasionally they'll remind you that they're not horrible.
If they're winning 2 out of 5, would Joey Bart bring that to 3 out of 5? And if so, is that not a winning record in a playoff bound team? Like that's the crazy thing about this 60 game sprint. Even a bad team is going to get in there. Now, there is the hurdle of the best division in baseball to overcome here as well. The Rockies, the Padres, and the Dodgers are very, very good. The Diamondbacks are not good at all. But, you know, look, we know that there is an illusion. That's all that they are. But at least make it interesting, and they have made it interesting in a way that, I mean, this alone should have them at 3-17 in their first 20, right? Let me give you this stat alone. Do you realize that right now Giants pitchers have allowed 29 home runs this year? That is the second worst in all baseball. Only Arizona has allowed more. And by the way, Arizona is just a launching pad and everything right there just sucks right now. And they've allowed 40. Ugh. But the Giants pitchers across the board have allowed 29 home runs this year, second worst in all baseball, and have allowed home runs in 15 straight games, which really, through a steroids era, doesn't sound that much. But allowing home runs in 15 straight games is the longest such streak in franchise history. Like, I couldn't believe that when I read that. I mean, the team that was in the belly of the beast of the steroid era didn't have a 15 home run consecutive game performance at one point in time over the course of 5-6 years where everyone was on the dope. I mean, I can't believe that. Thank you, AT&T Park, I guess. Like that probably had a lot to do with the dimensions of that place. But that's kind of amazing. A 15-game consecutive home run streak of Gopher balls given up by Giants pitchers, the most in history. And through this, they're, you know, a win tonight, they're 2 games under .500, not 15 games under .500. That's a stunner to me.
Well, the one question I would have about that stat is, if it's franchise history, the shock is not that it hasn't happened recently. The shock is that it never happened at the Polo Grounds, where it was 257 down the line and left and 270 down the line and right. That's where you would get that stat, because any pull hitter on either side of the plate is hitting routine second deck home runs.
So, a lot less home run hitters then, though.
At 257, you'd be surprised.
All right.
I mean, it's the only kinds of players who got punished at that park is anybody who couldn't pull the ball down the line, because it was 483 to dead center and 420 to the alleys.
What weird dimensions.
Yeah. Well, they put it literally, it's the Polo Grounds because it's a long, essentially semi-narrow place where they played polo.
Yeah. You know what they used to play there? Polo. That's what happened. Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, they just dropped it in there. No fake fences, nothing. It's just, if you can hit a ball out to center field, and I think two people did in the history of the ballpark, If you can do that, then you're in the Hall of Fame. And most Hall of Famers didn't. So, but that said, their pitching has been significantly worse than their hitting, given the fact that most teams have had much better pitching than hitting so far.
It's particularly surprising. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real secret here. Is it's not that they have outs in the lineup. A lot of teams have outs in the lineup. I mean, Houston's got outs in the lineup. I mean, part of that is because they're hurt. But for the most part, Houston's been let down because most of their pitchers have failed them. You know, between leaving and turning up and not being able to get out of the fourth, Houston is where they are because they can't pitch right now. And even at that, if you declared the season over today, they'd only be a half a game out of a playoff spot. Because that's how weird the American League is.
They're going to be looking for a little pitching tonight out of Zach Greinke, who the last time we saw Zach Greinke was looking very good against the A's. He had six shutdown innings, but then you forgot all about that because we had Liriano versus Cintron, and that became the entire conversation. So, and the A's actually swept the Astros, so you didn't remember how well Greinke pitched that day because you went home to have a beer and celebrate a win if you're an A's fan. We'll get back to baseball a little bit later on, but right now we are thrilled to go back to a gentleman who has really become a friend of this show. Arizona State head coach Herm Edwards joins us once again on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. We really appreciate your time, Coach, but it feels like time is something that you might have a little bit more of than you planned on just about a week ago. How are you and your team doing in the wake of the news that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten aren't playing this year?
Well, obviously, very disappointing for all those involved. But with that being said, players showed up today, and we began to continue to try to move forward with what we're trying to do, trying to build a football team here. And I thought the focus by the players after what had taken place yesterday was very good when they showed up. And that's all you can do. I told them, you know, the bottom line is that eventually we're going to play football. When that comes about, I can't tell you the date or the time, but we do have a lot of time on our hand, and we won't sit still and just think that it just fall into that relaxation part of it and think that it's not going to happen. It's going to happen eventually, but now we got a chance to get bigger, stronger, faster, and gain more knowledge every day.
As you were leading up to the decision that came down officially yesterday, in the past month or weeks where you were working out with players, looking at how your own campus was handling the COVID-19 issue, did you think that you were getting closer to or further from a season?
No, I was not naive by any stretch of the imagination going into this in the beginning. That I knew that the medical professionals would have our game plan, and we were going to rely on them to call the plays, and they called the play and said this is what it is, and I think the vote of the party that had to vote on it, whether we play or not, was unanimous. It was 12-0. So with that being said, you go, okay, and now we got to move on. And that's what you got to do. And you can't, you know, we can dwell on it and say what we want to. We can have all these opinions, but what are we going to do today to get better for tomorrow? I mean, that's how I look at things. You know, the respect of my life has always been always expect the unexpected. And then when it happens, what are you going to do? We're not going to feel sorry for ourselves because you can't do that. You got to move on. You got to take it for what it is, and you got to move on.
That's the thing that that a coach has to do. That's the thing the head of a program has to do. But as you look at the sport in general and the way it is fracturing, are you concerned that college football in 3 years, 5 years, 7 years could be a bunch of different conferences that have little to or nothing to do with each other because of what happened yesterday and what's likely to happen in the next few days?
Well, college football has changed since the time that I played. And I walked on that Cal campus in 1972 as a freshman. It was the Pac-8, by the way. You know, I've been involved in this conference a long time. It was the Pac-8. So I think, and I've watched college football change and evolve, and you know that's what that is. what's great about sports, you know, that there are always going to be some changes. Nothing stays the same. And regardless of how it changes, if you're not willing to adjust to that, you get left behind. And I think this has become, college football has always been big, but now it's become very, very big. When you think about the bowl games and you think about the playoff system, and we're talking about changing the playoff system, right? And no one's happy with four, right? Let's move it to six. Let's move it to eight. So it's constantly evolving, and I just think you have to understand that. And with that, the growth of football is part of it, and whether you like it or not, it's going to happen.
So you were saying the real question now is, you know, what do you do today? And I guess my question is, what are you allowed to do? Have you been given any information about, you know, what you're allowed to do with your team, any of that sort of stuff?
Well, we were on a 20-hour program, and right now, until someone tells us different, we're doing that. Well, with that being said, we've modified some things already because we have a lot of time on our hands. And what do you do with time, you know? And you don't want to waste time. And, you know, these guys are going to go to school here next week, too. So that's another thing that's put on the plate. Young people are going to start coming to campus. You know, we've been pretty fortunate. We've been in somewhat of a bubble. We've created our own bubble here. And our players and our medical people have done a great job of really insulating us due to the fact there's no students on campus. Well, that's the next thing we got to deal with now is young people being on campus. You know, young people, they have social hours. They have a social agenda as well. We all know that. We've all been in college before. But the thing that I stress the most is that even though right now our season is postponed, we've done a nice job of making sure our circle of people that we surround ourselves when we come in this building and leave the building are in a position to where we bring nothing into the building. And that's probably most important, right? And I think our players are well aware of that, and how they handle it is the next step for us.
Arizona State head coach Herm Edwards, friend of the show here on 95.7 The Game. It's great to have him back on. As I'm guessing a short parade of players walks into your office or walks into assistant coaches' offices, what is the most common question that you get? Is it about their scholarship status, their eligibility, transferring? Do you expect in any way, shape, or form there to be a mutiny from either Pac-12 or Big Ten programs to conferences that insist they're still playing?
Oh, I don't know that so much. I think that, you know, that's good headlines to have to keep. Look, I worked in the media. I get it.
It's good dramatic stuff to sell, is it not?
That's going to be the conversation. That gets callers to call in and have an opinion, you know, have an opinion. Why is this conference playing? This conference is not playing. You know, that's the talk and on all the airways. And I get that, you know, that's part of it. But I don't get concerned with that. I really don't. I just think I have to be concerned with these young men. They're in, you know, in the prime of their life as young student athletes. And I have to make sure their health and their safety and their well-being is okay. And that's the conversations I'm having with. It's about all of a sudden, this has been stopped abruptly. This has never happened to them. This has never happened to me, to be quite honest. Now, I went on a strike season. I was the head coach in New York when 9/11 hit. That was a tragic event. But nothing like this, where, you know, it's postponed. And how do you deal with that? And I think for all of us that are in that area of the season being postponed, we have to reinvent ourselves to figure out how can we keep their focus? How can we still make fun of coming to work and to walkthroughs and lifting? How do we make that enjoyable knowing that, you know, we don't get to play Saturday, right? I mean, and that's what we got to try to do now.
I assume that you've talked to or relatively regularly talked to the other coaches in the conference.
Yeah.
Maybe not long, but fairly often. Were there any of them who thought anything other than we're not playing this fall?
Well, I think we were all optimistic going into this, you know, like 4 or 5 weeks ago, because we were all isolated. And we felt like we had a pretty good plan of testing, the way we were working out. But the question for all of us was this, is what is going to happen when we come together and actually try to do this and participate in a sport that social distancing is not required? The only one that wants a social distance in this sport is the quarterback. And everybody else got to have at it, right? And so how does that look? How is that going to work? Along with when the general population of any campus starts coming back, how do we maneuver that, right? That was the concern. I mean, most coaches had that same concern.
When, let's say a kid on your team right now with NFL aspirations who expected to be going in the upcoming draft walks into your office and says, Coach, what do I do now? What's the right way to approach this?
Oh, I tell them real simply, do you want to live on your tape of last year? Because that's what they're looking at. You know, your resume is what you put on tape. And if you're okay with that, then you got a decision to make. I can't make it for you. How do you feel? You know, don't let, and I told them all, you know, we got some guys that are in that position maybe. And I said, don't make a decision today. Don't make emotional decisions. So they generally are wrong. Think about it. You're not in a hurry. Regardless of what you do, you have to continue to work out to get ready. Whether you're getting ready for the season that's been postponed, whether you're getting ready for the combine, you have to get ready for football. So you're still in that mode. It's just a matter of the decision you have to make right now. I will help you with that decision. I will talk to you about that. But it's going to be ultimately your decision. And I'm going to do what is best for you. Whatever you want to do, I'm going to support you either way. But I'm going to always give you a fact, and I'm always going to tell you the truth.
Herm Edwards here on 95.7 The Game. As you walk around your athletic department, how many nervous faces are you seeing these days, not just from your football colleagues, but all the sports that get funded by football's income?
Well, I think when you look at us, and it starts with our AD and our president, we have done a marvelous job of really making coaches and everyone aware that, you know, we got 26 sports. And our AD and president, they have no, you know, they have no thinking of we're going to have to do some things different. That you know, they're going to try to keep everyone whole. And I mean, everyone understands that. And so that's where we're at now. Could things change? We know that, but I think for right now, you know, we're solid, and I think every coach is kind of disappointed. Like, I was disappointed for Bobby Hurley and those guys when they were in the tournament and it got canceled. You know, it's like it came to it because they were a hot basketball team, you know, and so they got canceled. I felt bad for the baseball coaches and for women's softball and all those events that I would go to with my family. You know, I've been on this campus for my 2.5 years, and all those things, those events, I went to softball games, volleyball games, basketball games, men and women, with my family, with my two daughters and my wife. When that was stopped, I went, wow, I felt bad for them. Well, now the shoe is flipped. They're looking at me now. I'm going, man, this is, you know, this is tough stuff, right? And so we're all sitting in the same boat, but I think our leadership has done a great job of making everyone aware of what we're trying to do and how we're going to deal with it.
Is there a sense that you guys will play in the spring, or do you not even think about that on the theory that we didn't see this coming, I'm not going to guess what's coming next?
Yeah, we're hopeful. You know, we're always hopeful. But you can plan that. You know, here's what's kind of funny. There's a couple plans now. Let's just say you open up in the spring, so you got 6 months, right, to get prepared for that. And then you got to ask yourself, okay, if you go to the spring, the next question is going to come, well, how can you play 10 games, right? Because the season has become shortened, because then you're going to turn around and try to play in the fall. That'll be the next big debate, right? Well, if you do that, how are you going to play a season, you know, two football seasons within a year of games? Well, then what does that look like, right? And, you know, me as a former player and former coach, I'm looking at that going, well, maybe you just play the South against the South and the North against the North in our conference, and you play five games, and the winner of each side has the best record. You play a championship game, play six games. Well, then you have a season of 12. Well, that maybe you can pull that off. Maybe you can pull it off. But I don't know. But the good part, yeah, I don't have to make that decision. Here's my problem. I'm trying to map out what do we do when we go from right now, if we go to the spring, and if we don't go to the spring, then what do I do for the next year, right? I mean, I got so many schedules sitting on my desk right now, I'm busy. But, you know, that's my job. My job is to protect the players, to instill confidence in them, and to create an environment where it's safe, it's fun, and when things come about, to try to fix it. That's your job. Your job is in any person in leadership. It's not that they serve you. You actually serve them. I have to serve these coaches and these players every day. And that's my job. I signed on to do that. And, you know, that's not the job standing on the sideline being the head coach. That's the easy part, to be quite honest, when the game starts. It's this stuff that you got to do that no one sees, no one watching. You don't see all this stuff. You know, if you guys walk in here right now, you go, what are you doing? And I'm going, hey, man, I got schedules for this month, for next month. I got to schedule 13 months. And I got to schedule 6 months. And I got to schedule 4 months. And it's times, it's dates, it's places, what you do, how you do it. I mean, all these things, you know, that's what I got to do now. That's my job.
That sort of leads me into the next thing I wanted to ask you, which is, as we've gone through this totally insane, unprecedented time in all of our lives, is there anything you've started doing that you think, man, this has made me rethink how I do this, and even when this is over, hopefully, I'll always do this one thing differently?
Well, I think you look at things, for me, it's always it's player-driven. It's staff-driven for me. How do I help them, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what you do, you know. And I think sometimes you look back at things and say, you know, I should have done this way. And maybe I should have done this way. I do know this. It's about developing young men, bottom line. Because if you develop them and they leave your watch and they're better men for playing under your watch, they're going to be good football players. They're going to be good husbands, fathers. They're going to be good community leaders. You know that. And in times like this, this is when you got to be at your best, because there's no carrot, there's no game that gets them going. They got to enjoy still coming in the building. You know, how do you feed that? How do you feed that energy in them with what has taken place here in the last day or two? You know, how do you get that going, right? I think about those things. You know, how do I do that now? Because before, it was easy. You had a season. You had a plan. You had, this is what we're going to do. Everything's marked off. Well, right now, I don't have that. I don't have a game to look forward to. I got to get through week by week. And how do I keep them in this? How do I keep them excited? You know, how do I do that to an 18, 19-year-old kid, right? I mean, that's what I'm trying to do.
It's a puzzle that no one's even sat down to try to put together before. It's such a unique moment in time. And Herm, there's no doubt that COVID-19 has exposed an awful lot of things, the hypocrisy behind things, the cracks in the system, if you will. The one thing that I'm pretty darn sure of, and I think anyone who has listened to you throughout the years at all the levels of your career, is that you're the genuine article. And Arizona State is very lucky to have, I think, a coach that honestly is putting his team, his staff, and kids' safety above and beyond all. And I know that, you know, you got to give your team a hug every day. Nobody hugs the coach, man. Nobody. I hope somebody gives you a hug, because you're doing a hell of a job, and there's no doubt that your moral compass is something that Arizona State is very lucky to have leading its football program.
Well, I appreciate your words, and those players gave me a hug today because they knew their coach needed one. That's for sure. There's no doubt. It's all good. I love these kids. I do. I told them that. I love you guys. You guys know that.
Was that before or after the lecture about don't go near anybody for until we tell you otherwise?
Well, that was, you can't help that. That's just kind of how it works, you know? That's kind of life. That's how life works, you know? You just, and you trust them. You know, that's the thing. And I've always said this, you know, when you sit in the seat of leadership, they'll respect the title, but you got to earn the trust of the person that has the title. You got to earn that. And hopefully I've earned that with these young men.
I tell you, you approach every day with a level of enthusiasm that very few human beings possess. Keep it up, Coach. Thank you for joining us once again. It was wonderful to have you on.
My pleasure, man. Thank you. God bless you.
Herm Edwards, Arizona State head football coach. Another just home run interview. And there really is something genuine to that guy.
Yeah, the only problem with having Herm Edwards on is if he ever leaves coaching, everyone's going to know that he's better than all of us at talking on the air.
Oh, there's no
doubt.
He
could take any of our jobs anytime he wants to.
He already did.
And then I know.
He left. That's
I'm
no,
saying.
Yeah. He doesn't even have to. He's like that owner who wants to own another team in the same league. He's already been vetted.
Right.
And really, other than Sean McVay, he'd be one of the first calls for any network.
Let me just tell you about Sean McVay. It didn't take, what, 10 minutes? 10 minutes into the first episode of Hard Knocks where we're getting beefcake pool shots?
Amazing.
Come on, McVay. Put a shirt
Play
on.
Play ball with the dog. I love
put
it.
A, put love a it. Shirt on. Seriously. By the way, nice little view he's got from that back patio.
Holy that's a, moly.
That's a hell of a lanai he's working with right there, whatever you call that. That thing is, that's nice. That's very nice.
Yeah.
But the wife, by the way, very nice. Very, very nice. Strong.
That view came on the screen last night, and my wife turned to me and said, he's younger than us, huh?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, yeah, baby, he sure is. Five years younger.
Jillian really likes Hard Knocks, and we were watching last night too, and she was like, you need to work harder. Seriously. I'm like, yeah, honey, I get it. I really get it. You need to marry better is what you really need to do.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. They both could have done better. It's on them.
Yeah, but it kind of an interesting Hard Knocks last night. And you know, my first question there for Herm Edwards was, did you really think in the weeks leading up to yesterday's decision that you were getting – closer to or further from playing football? And when I'm watching Hard Knocks last night, to juxtapose how two teams are dealing with the same issue, trying to enact the same protocols, but one thing really did stand out to me, and I'm not trying to shame the Rams as opposed to praise the Chargers here or anything, but what I thought was on full display in that first episode, and we will talk about this. I think there's a lot of fun to be had in this season of Hard Knocks that maybe we weren't expecting because we get to juxtapose two teams right against each other in the same episode. But I really thought that what was on full display last night is one team's head football coach has had COVID-19. The other has not. And yeah. I thought that the DNA that you saw being imprinted into practices and protocols was a touch more serious for the Chargers than it was the Rams last night. And I'm not saying that the Rams were incompetent or negligent or anything like that, but there was a sense of a more serious approach to COVID-19 coming from Anthony Lynn, who I thought was the breakout star of that first episode, than necessarily Sean McVay.
Yeah, and McVay even said himself, right? I know I need to do better with this in one of the scenes, and I think that's noticeable. But I think it's also noticeable that everyone's trying. I mean, look, I don't know if you guys noticed this. The most disturbing COVID thing to me in the whole episode was towards the beginning when they were testing one of the Rams, and they had the lady go through the spiel. I'm going to put the swab in each nostril for about 10 seconds, and then they cut over to the Chargers. And someone says, all right, I'm going to do the swab. We're going to put it in each nostril for like 3 to 4 seconds. And I'm like, wait a second. The other guy just said 10 seconds. What's going on here? Aren't they all taking the same test? Like, that makes me a little nervous. But in terms of how seriously are people taking this, for the most part, we got the best version of that we could, I think. And granted, that's what the NFL wants to sell us. But, you know, it's not like they're having guys pretend to have swabs stuck up their nose. That's actually happening. And it does seem like they're – it seems like two things. On one hand, it seems like they're trying, which I give them credit for. And on the other hand, it seems like they have every intention of playing. Like, to your point, Damon, is this moving closer or further away from actual games? There's no question they think they're moving towards actual games, and they intend to do it on time.
Week 1, September 5, see you there. Or 6, whatever it is.
Yeah, the takeaway I had was that while Anthony Lynn cares a lot, it's pretty clear the NFL doesn't, because if the NFL cared about this, they would see to it that everybody was doing everything the same way. And they're clearly not. It's literally like college football in its horrific chaos. It's, you guys just figure out how you want to test on your own. And that's not good enough. I mean,
What makes you say that, Ray? That they're just figuring out on their own?
To start with, you know, the 7-second difference in how long you put a swab up somebody's nose. I mean, right. There should be a uniform protocol for all of that. It bothers me that Anthony Lynn was allowed to keep his COVID a secret for that long. And I know that there are HIPAA laws that allow it, but this is a shared responsibility and burden for everyone. And it, like, the Chargers weren't sharing their notion of the burden, and the Rams were relatively numb to it because nobody they knew got it yet. And that's how outbreaks happen, with just this sort of blithe ignorance of reality. And the NFL is supposed to make sure that doesn't happen.
We had an outstanding conversation with Arizona State head coach Herm Edwards, where he just wrapped it up with a little Hard Knocks teaser, if you will. When we come on back, we'll get into some of the sound from last night's debut episode of this season of Hard Knocks, which has both NFL teams in L.A. front and center as their topics. A little bit later on today, we'll dive into that NBA bubble with Ryan McDonough, former Suns GM. We are going to be talking with him. We got a What If Wednesday this afternoon, and our first hour was solid. We expect the next three to be pretty darn good, too. And you're invited to be part of it at 888-957-9570. What impressed you from last night's Hard Knocks, if you were able to watch it? That's all happening as we come on back here, courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.